Listen, I gotta come clean with you about something.
What?
I told you about my brother, yeah?
I told you about the program he's forced to attend and how he shouldn't be there.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Do you understand that?
No.
Something happened. I don't know exactly what. My brother's been arrested. He's being held at Rikers Island. He could get killed in there.
Sorry, we just have a client that walked in.
We're good?
You get another 10 grand, your brother will get out.
Where are you? How much money can you get right now?
Come on, bro.
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding me? What do you think I'm doing this for? I don't want to get him out tonight.
Guarantee everyone will be having a good time. I think that's what the guy said in the trailer here. Because I can tell you, watching the movie, nobody in this fucking movie had a good time. Actually, everybody in here had a fucking shitty time in the dirtiest fucking city I think you could ever find in America. Funny thing is, I used to spend my summers out in this city. I ain't never seen no shit like this before. Talking about the movie Good Time, the critically acclaimed hit coming out of Cannes Film Festival here. And right now, it's getting its wider release. Well, it's got a wider release now. And I was like, I gotta go check this film out. People are talking about this, and look, I can't stand those fucking Twilight films. But my hats is off to Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson because they've done some films where their performances in them were just incredible. I must say, I saw a movie back in March or April this year. Personal Shopper with Kristen Stewart. Movie's a little dull at times, whatever and stuff, but Kristen Stewart just gives an amazing performance in there, and I was kind of blown away by her. I was like, well, damn. And it just takes back every bad thing I've ever said about her. And Robert Pattinson, what a year for him he's had, you know, this year. I've seen him in two films already. This will be my third one here, and he's just the guy, man, that's really just trying to lose himself in these films, and he couldn't have picked a better script than this one right here. I mean, this guy could easily get work in anything he possibly wanted to do. Not from this movie, but I know he can be in shape if he wanted to be or whatever and stuff. You know, I know he said recently, you know, I'm not trying to be the pretty guy, the leading guy, man or whatever. Oh, damn, I can't get these words out for nothing or whatever. And I was thinking in my head, well, you don't have to worry about that because personally, I don't even think you're that good looking. But so, you know, you'll never be the pretty guy in the leading role. Don't worry. You can be that swarmy-looking motherfucker, but I digress. So here we are with this movie, Good Time, and basically the plot synopsis of this, we got... This is did by the... I don't know how to pronounce their names. The Safdie Brothers? The Safdie Brothers? I'm going to go Safdie Brothers. And funny enough, Benny Safdie, who I think is the older brother, he's in this film as well, and he plays the brother of Robert Pattinson's character here. Robert Pattinson's character is named Connie Nickus, and he's pretty much a con man. He's a hustler on the streets of Queens, New York, if you will. Oof, Queens, New York ain't never looked so damn dirty here. I gotta tell you, you know, we get a lot of films here in L.A. And End of Watch was one of them. I love that film. It really gets get down to the grimy aspect of East and South L.A. and stuff like that. Mainly East L.A. And, you know, there's a lot of people from other states, they didn't understand the film. You know, well, some aspects of it, it was just like, oh, that's just an L.A. thing. Trust me on that. That's a straight-up L.A. thing. I remember having those conversations with people, you know, watching this film. This is a film, like, if you live in Queens or from Queens and you watch this film, you'll be like, oh, they're not going to get this aspect right here, you know. Seeing, going to the, spending my summers in Queens or whatever, I got a lot of family out there. Matter of fact, I got a cousin out there that... I kid you not, she sounds and looks just like Alicia Keys. Man. Anyway, though, on that part right there, that was mind-blowing. Oh, and her kid looks like that fucker from, what was those movies, those Disney Channel, was it Jump In, whatever and shit? The dude with the, was it Corbin Blue, whatever that thing, that kid's name, whatever? Her kid looks just like this fucker, whatever. I used to make fun of him. I was just like, wow, shit, maybe he is Corbin Blue now. I haven't talked to him in a while, so maybe he's famous now. But either way, though, so... So yeah, if you're from New York, Queens, that area and stuff, man, this is going to be just like right up your alley. I can see it already. But Connie Nick is here. Funny enough, his name is Connie, and he's a con man. His brother, Benny, played by Benny Safdie, is Nick is in here, and he suffers, well, they don't really say what he is, but basically to put it down, he's mentally challenged. He's kind of, is retarded still the okay word to use? I'm not really sure these days. Either way, though, he's mentally challenged. And we open up with this scene, which I guess we don't really know what's happening. And it's this scene where Nick is in this room with a therapist, it looks like. And you can off the bat tell, okay, he's mentally challenged. Oh, man, I don't know what it was about this scene, but this scene just really just sets up the movie for you. And as I was watching it, this guy, Benny, man, he did a great job in this performance role right here. Or I mean, he's not on camera that much, but for this one moment here, when he shed that tear that came from his eye, you can really tell, like, oh, I mean, you could really tell just from the look in his eyes, whatever is going on in this situation that's happening, you're like, you can tell he doesn't want to be in it, he doesn't want to even be there or whatever. I think he's just getting dealt the bad hand. But then later, when the movie goes on, you realize, no, everybody in this movie is just a dumbass, really. I mean, and kind of a funny dumbass, to be honest. I laughed a couple of times. I had a, no pun intended, I had a good time watching this movie, to be exact. But basically, so his brother, Connie, comes in and be like, what the hell are you doing here? Get the hell out of here. This is stupid, because Connie, he loves his brother. I mean, it's very clear. He'll do anything for his brother. Matter of fact, the whole movie is basically about saving his brother in some aspect or another. So he loves his brother, but I guess he's thinking in his mind, like, this therapist shit, that's just, I don't know if he's just using his brother, which it seems like, but if he was using him, then he wouldn't have spent this whole damn movie trying to save him, too. I guess he feels like, in a way, this therapist shit, that's not going to help you. You know, it's they're just trying to, like, you know, get inside your head to tell you something's wrong with you when really something really isn't wrong with you, you know. Right off the bat, they go rob a bank. Shitty-ass mask and everything, and you can obviously tell, like, this bank robbery should have went wrong in so many different ways. They kept it real calm, cool, collective, but, you know, they said, you know, that money in the safe and on your teller right there, that's not enough. I need you to go to the back and go grab all the fucking money. They actually let this woman go to the back of this bank here to go grab the money. So what ends up happening, they end up running away, escaping, taking the clothes off and stuff like that. Only for the driver, I don't know what car this was, an Uber ride, if you will. Only to tell them, hey, what's that ticking, by the way, back there, whatever. They open up the bag, and all of a sudden, it's like this fucking pink powder just goes off and shoots them all in the face. The driver ends up crashing another car, fills the whole car up and stuff. They're looking like the biggest dumbasses you can find and stuff. Next, you know, they're on a run, and they wasn't on the run at this point. Yeah, so they got the money. They hid the money away in a fucking Domino's bathroom, of all places. And they change clothes and get out of and they start walking. Cops are already on the lookout. They're looking for these two guys and stuff like that. They're trying to find out who robbed this bank. Cops pull up next to them. I love this. I laugh my ass off in this sequence right here. Connie is trying to tell Nick. He's like, just don't say anything. Don't move. Let me do all the talking. They're going to go ask us some questions, whatever. Cops came up next to them and was just like, hey, can we ask you guys some questions, whatever? Connie was like, yeah, sure, officer. Nick ran like a motherfucker. I was like, I laughed my ass off the way he took off. I was like, he ain't too mentally challenged to know that he shouldn't be talking to fucking cops. I mean, he made it seem like he was black and trying to get away or whatever, because he was like, I don't trust these. He must have been watching the news as of lately or something like that. I don't know what time period this was set in. Well, clearly in present day time, but, well, shit, I don't know. They have some old ass phones in this fucking film, so. All I know, this could have been 2005 or 6. The cop shootings probably were just as bad as then, though, too, as well. So, actually, yeah, it was. Because back in 2006, I think that's when, in Queens, New York, too, funny enough, whatever, is when they shot, I forgot the guy's name, the day before his wedding, whatever, they shot this guy 50 times only to realize, black guy, too, none, mind you, 50 times just only to find out once he was already dead, oh, we got the wrong person, you fuckers. Anyway, though. So they end up, the way they catch the brother, there's a sliding door. I laugh my ass off at this too. So you know in most movies where people run through glass and, you know, they're uncut. They may have a little cut around under the eye or something like that. A little blood splotch or something like that. No injuries really happen and stuff. There was a sliding door. The brother went through the sliding door, which is Connie. And then the mentally challenged one, Nick, he ran right through the fucking glass. And call me fucked up, but I laughed my ass off the way he just fell down. That shit was brilliant, I must say. The way he just collapsed over, I was like, oh, damn, he's late. And, like, you expect him to get back up so they can get back on the run. The cops are chasing him, but no. He gets fucked up, too, by the way. His eyes all black and blue and shit. He's got vagina wounds all over his face, whatever. I mean, his face is fucked, okay? And this was before the ass whooping he takes in prison, which he kind of fucking deserved anyway. You know, kinda, they wasn't fucking with him, but he went fucking with them. Excuse me if I make fun of the voice work in here and stuff like that. But Benny Safdi, I'm gonna fuck that name up. He makes it really believable that he could be mentally challenging here. He did an amazing job. It's never once used as disrespectful or anything like that. I thought it was just like right on key. There was an aspect in the film where I was just like, man, is he really mentally challenged in real life or something? Because, wow. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in here as well, too. She kind of plays, there's a whole other fucking story, to be honest with you. Her shit is just crazy. She's like, I guess this rich girl. She's barely in the movie, though, people. Probably like 5 minutes. She's a rich girl who's got mommy issues and everybody that Robert Pattinson in this movie is like AIDS. He comes near you and touches you or anything like that. Bad shit is going to happen. I mean, even if you was already in bad shit, if he comes around and touches you, your shit's going to be fucked up. Like, okay, he's AIDS, basically. If you have, like, chlamydia, well, I don't know, is chlamydia worse than whatever? Okay, if you got, like, I was about to say it's her, huh? Okay, if you got, like, crabs or something like that, fuck it, let's just go smiling. If you got crabs and you're just like, man, ain't no worse can get to me now or whatever and shit, but hey, you know what? I'm putting my medication on there and it's getting all kind of cleared up right here, so I'm feeling good. That motherfucker touches you, next thing you know, you wake up and you got, it was like, what the hell's going on now? Now I got AIDS? The hell? That's how bad he is. This dude is a fucking wreck. I mean, matter of fact, everyone in this movie is a fucking wreck. There was not one single individual in this film that you end up liking at all. Even the mentally challenged dude. They make a way to fake a way to make you hate him at some aspect. There's a scene, people, and the plot synopsis is basically the before I get into the scene here. Plot synopsis is basically the brother trying to get $10,000 more because he only has $16,000 when he robbed from the bank to use at his bail bond place. He needs $10,000 more to get his brother out of jail, basically. Hey, take all the money you robbed from a bank to bail your brother out. A noble act in my cause right there, whatever, but you're still a piece of shit. But anyway, there's a scene where the brother's in prison, and the first thing you see is all of them getting tear gas, whatever. Brother wasn't involved in that, but that's fine here. And I guess one of the inmates, which, by the way, they make it a point to show you that these some big black motherfuckers, too, whatever, that'll punch your ass in a heartbeat. This dude walks up to the fucking TV and say, I was watching that. And I'm not trying to make fun of him. That's how he was talking. He was like, he was getting in their faces too. He was like, you don't change the channel on me. We watch what I watch. I watch it now. You don't change channel, whatever. And they would just tell him, yo, chill, man, chill. Don't be like that, okay? We don't want to watch that. We want to watch this now, whatever and stuff. And he was like, no, you change channel. He went over the TV and turned it back. This big black dude got up and slapped the fuck out of him twice or whatever. And then I guess everybody else, they're just like, fuck it, we need to beat his ass now, whatever. This cholo-looking dude came out of nowhere, whatever, and shit, and he ends up getting tackled by the mentally challenged brother, but then everybody, like, he started beating this dude's ass. I ain't gonna lie, the mentally challenged dude was putting some hands on this motherfucker, but then someone kicked him from the side of the head and shit, and they whooped his ass. They wailed on his, I mean, they left him in a puddle of his own blood and shit, and I was just like, and he's up in Rikers Island, people, by the way, so you know shit gets heavy up in there. They fucked him up, and you know, at the point in this right here, I was just like, well, I'd feel sorry for you, but you kind of had that shit coming. You shouldn't have touched they fucking TV, so I don't give a damn what you was watching, whether it was Dora the Explorer or Magic Yellow School Bus, whatever the fuck that show was called. You could be watching Barney sucking another fucking dinosaur's fat pussy or something, for all I care, whatever. But if those big-ass Negroes are watching that TV, it's best you just say, well, I guess they wanted to change the channel then. So Robert Pattinson, that's pretty much the end that we see of the brother. Robert Pattinson's trying to get him out. He ends up finding out that he's in a hospital, right? This is where shit just really goes fucking crazy now. So he finds out he's in a hospital, but Robert Pattinson's too goddamn stupid to check the charts on the fucking name. He thinks he's smarter than what he is, but when you watch the movie, you're like, no, he's kind of stupid as fuck, actually. He goes to this hospital, to bail his brother out, and he just sees a random dude being watched by a security guard. There, now, this scene, I'm not gonna lie, this scene was pretty fucking creepy. There was an old lady room he snuck into, and she's asking for something to drink, whatever. She's just mumbling and stuff, and it was just the way he stared at her. When she opened her eyes and she was like, oh, I thought he was gonna fucking suffocate her or something like that. I was like, is he about to rape her? But no, he gives her something. Look, I think it was a fruit cup or something like that. It was something to drink. And then he drinks it too. And then he just looks at her and stares. And I guess she just said, her black instincts must have kicked in. She just said, I'm just gonna close my goddamn eyes and pretend I don't see him here. Because Rob Bradshaw, that's a creepy-looking motherfucker, okay? they try to find out who's going to be the next, like, Jason Voorhees or something like that. Look, he may not be the body built for it, but you put that motherfucker in a dark room staring at you like the way he was in here, I'd be terrified, too. He could be in my apartment right now if I was sleeping, and I woke up and he was just staring at me like that. I would close my eyes back in a heartbeat and just act like I'm freaking talking into my sleep, talking about... Ooh, take whatever you want. Ooh, oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, take the computers. You can have them all. Oh, there's even one under the bed. Take it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, open the closet. A lot of shit in there, too. Yeah, I would just give him clues of where shit at. Don't forget the checkbook. Yeah, that's right there. But he waited for the security guard to leave, right? So he ends up breaking this dude out of hospital. And he ends up getting on this bus. This Jamaican lady he ends up running to, and I'm assuming that's probably her husband. He was in the hospital as well. He damn near looks like a vegetable. He's drooling and shit like that or whatever. And he just goes to her house. He says, fuck, I'm going to try to hide out in this place. A little be known, he meets this girl in here. Man, this girl, Talia Webster, plays Crystal in the film. She's the granddaughter of here. 16 years old. I liked her in the movie. She was actually really well. There's a scene in here, though. It's creepy as fuck. I mean, it is beyond creepy. I don't know if any other reviews have talked about this yet because they don't like to do spoilers, but here at Movie Spoilers, this is why I love my job in some aspects or whatever. Robert Pattinson ends up making out with this girl, and it was like the most uncomfortable. Look, this movie's already, he's already a piece of shit, and this movie's already dirty and grimy. Like, that's the best description to describe this film. This movie is dirty. Like, you feel dirty walking out. It feels like somebody just took a fan and threw some coke in front of that fan when you walked outside of it, whatever, and shit, and just left you feeling like shit. I was just like, ugh, God, I gotta get the stench off me. It doesn't help that the sun is baking out here in California right about now, whatever, so it's just like, ugh, my t-shirt is sticking to me now, whatever. I was like, ugh, I feel like I was in there doing it with them, but they turned on the news. Funny enough, they're watching cops where an injustice is happening or whatever. I was just like, oh, my God. The way they attack this woman or whatever, and she ends up stabbing herself the way they attacked her and shit like that. And he's like, change the channel. They put on this news, and the cops are aware that who robbed that bank, whatever. They got his photo and everything. They pull it up, and he just, instead of letting the girl see whoever, he decides to make out with her. He could have just stopped it there, but no, it doesn't stop there. He ends, and this is after he found out that, like, she's pretty much a piece of shit her damn self in some aspect. She's a 16-year-old girl who was dating some older dude who happened to be a drug dealer. She's smoking weed and shit like that or whatever and stuff in the grandma's house. All that. I was like, God damn, this girl's fucked up, dude. This girl's all kind of fucked up right now. So Robert Pattinson starts making out with her. And then after he's done making out with her, he picks her up. And when he picks her little ass body up, I was just like, oh. It was just something about it that just didn't feel right. Well, first of all, it's pedophilia, but still, at the same time, it's just like, oh, God, I don't want to watch this. He picks her up and takes her to the bedroom, and he's got half her shirt lifted up, and he's holding her arms up, whatever, and stuff. And he's like making out with her hardcore. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, God, that was so fucking disgusting. And then all you hear is just screaming, talking about, what the fuck is going on? This is where shit really got batshit crazy, people. Turns out this dude that he left in his room in this wheelchair, and the reason why he didn't know it is because this dude had, like, a face body cast on and stuff like that. This dude, he ends up taking from the hospital, ain't even his fucking brother. That's a whole nother fucking character in this film. And you thinking he's gonna have, like, a small part in the film, you're gonna get rid of him really quick. No. No, he's in the movie for a long, long, long time or whatever. Matter of fact, the second half of the film is basically about him. And I'm trying to find out who this guy was, whatever. Oh, man, I don't... They don't have pictures next to the... I'm looking on IMDb right now. Acid buying complainer. What the fuck? Okay. I'm scrolling. I wish I could find this guy, because this guy was just... He was entertaining as fuck. I don't even know how to, like, describe this dude. How you... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, I can't... I don't see a name here or whatever. It gets to a point where they just start going inmate, arcade guy, undercover cop, whatever. And it's like, okay, y'all clearly didn't name this guy. But whatever. There's this guy in here. I mean, he's all fucked up. His eyes all closed in and shit like that. And pretty much Robert Pattinson's character telling him, hey, we're going to take you back to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. They end up taking the grandmother's car. He brings the girl with him. And I'm just like, oh, man, leave the girl behind. You know, they end up going to White Castle because the hospital is just filled with cops. And this dude tells Robert Pattinson's character this story that you would believe that you was watching the fucking Three Stooges if you was to see this goddamn story. This story was just like, the fuck? You gotta be kidding me, and laugh out loud. Like, you have like three different kind of reactions watching the damn movie. I mean, this sequence right here. He tells this story about like how he got out of jail. He's out of prison on parole. He meets up, what did he do? I forgot. He spent whatever last bit of money he had left in his pocket, went to the store, bought him some fucking, what did he buy? Was it cognac? I want to say it was, no, it was, yeah, it was, fuck it, it was cognac. He bought him a bottle of cognac, got fucked up, met up with his buddy, who's right here. His name is Necro, and his name is Necro, and, okay, that must be some code name. He plays Khalif in the film. Meets up with Khalif. Khalif shows up with a bottle of Hen. He's like, you know, I got the bottle. He's like, we started hitting that Hen. We meet up with our other buddies whatever here with some drug deal. It was almost like Michael Pena was telling that story again from Ant-Man or whatever and shit. They meet up with this other buddy who's just famously known for selling some of the best acid you can buy or whatever and shit like that. He started getting fucking high as shit. So they was like, yo, we started hitting up in Queen. We went to the arcade, yo, after we were selling some shit. We hit up the arcade where other people could find us and shit like that. And then he was like, you know, this is where the acid really started to kick in, because I was tripping balls like a motherfucker, you know. And then he was like, so then all of a sudden this motherfucker rolls up on me or whatever. He knew the drug dealer friend. I forgot his name already and stuff. He was like, this motherfucker rolls up on us. He's like, yo, I just got done robbing a damn Radio Shack down the street. I hope Nick Cannon was in that motherfucker. You know, I really do. You put a bullet to that motherfucker. Anyway, though, he's like, I robbed a Radio Shack. Cops are looking for me right now. And he was like, you know, I was too tripped up out of my balls to understand what was going on. So I was just like, fuck it. You know, we got to get the fuck out of here too, whatever. Next you know it, we're on the run. We run into some amusement park. Cops are chasing us. It's dark as fuck. So we hit the shit. Next you know it, I run away or whatever. I get away. And he's looking like a... I thought he was mentally challenged the way he was running in the street or whatever. He was all fucked up. He's like, I jumped in this taxi, and next you know, me and this dude started arguing whatever and shit. And he was talking about he's gonna take me to the police station. I kept yelling out, I ain't going back to jail, I ain't going back to jail. He's like, so I said, fuck it. I opened up the door and I looked at the ground, and he was like, that acid really kicked in. I just jumped out that motherfucker, and this is how my face ended up this way. And it was just like, and I look around passing out his face, he was like, okay. When I heard that story, I was just like, he's gonna be in the film for a while. I was like, they did not just get his brother 5 minutes to tell this long ass story, ridiculous ass story. I would have loved to have seen that shit though, of him, that story alone or whatever. That story alone could have made a movie, and it could have just ended with him in the hospital or whatever. I mean, when he jumped out of that fucking taxi, we was like, yo, the taxi kept speeding up. He started going 60 miles. So I just said, fuck it, I jumped or whatever. And the way his face hit that ground, I was like, holy shit. He said, next you know what, I wake up in the hospital handcuffed to a fucking gurney or something like that. I was like, shit. Hell of a story there, my friend. So he tells him, you know, Robert Pattinson's like, wait a minute, I see a payday off of this. I can get the 10 grand or whatever, get my brother out. He's like, so y'all hit the stash in that amusement park. They get to this amusement park. Man, and you think shit is like calm, cool, collective. He brings the girl with him alone or whatever and shit. And no, just, things just get fucking worse here, because then we get my brother, I'm the captain now. He comes in this motherfucker, this dude. Remember that rule I told you? Robert Pattinson is AIDS, and whoever he touches, man, you just got super AIDS now. All of a sudden, this dude, I'm gonna fuck his name up. Bacard Abdi, Academy Award nominated here. He plays Dash, the park security guard. Damn. I mean, I love it. They're sneaking around, whatever, and the dude that's fucked up, he ends up getting caught, or whatever. The dude that told that fucked up story, whatever, he ends up getting caught. And he ties him. Bacard tied his ass up and everything. He's just like, we got cameras all around the place. You don't think I saw you? I saw you. I saw you. Where's your friend at? I turned all the lights on. He come out. I tell him. He sees Robert Pattinson trying to hop a fence. He's like, hey, you. He stops him. Robert Pattinson ends up tackling this motherfucker like he plays for the goddamn Green Bay Packers or something like that. Tackles the shit out of this dude and lays his ass out with like six open fists or whatever. Just palming his ass right in the head with him until he busted open. And I was like, damn. And they dragged his ass back in there or whatever. And this ain't even the fucked up part about this situation right here. What's fucked up about this part is, apparently this dude, this security guard, called the cops. They show up and they say, fuck, take his shoes off, take his shirt off, give me his clothes. Robert Pattinson puts on the security guard clothes, whatever. And the other dude that told that fucked up story, He finds the bottle of this like a big ass Sprite bottle of acid or whatever. It's a huge ass bottle. He's like, fuck it. He was like, we gonna make sure this dude don't remember shit, whatever. He opens his mouth, whatever, and pours like almost a good big ass glass filled size of this acid in this dude's mouth, whatever. I was like, oh, this is fucked up. Cops come in and just like, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's just like tweaking out, whatever, and stuff like that. And he was like, oh, he's high right now. We're going to have to arrest him. I was like, oh. And then they woke this dude up, and he was, like, just confused, talking some shit out of his mind. He's like, what's... He sounded like the dude from, what's the movie? Super, what James Gunn did, whatever. That big black dude at the end, whatever. What the fuck are the goddamn Christian boat on me? That's what this dude sounded. And this shit was just fucked up. I was just like, man, fuck you, Rob Pattinson, too. Oh, it was such a fucked up situation. I was like, damn, is that brother about to go to jail now? Because they're going to be like, where'd you get the fucking the acid from? Whatever. I don't know where I got no fucking acid from. So they end up taking his car and his keys, whatever, and they end up finding his apartment. They try to make this deal go off with some of the crazy dude Robert Pattinson met, brother, or whatever and stuff, or his the dude that was making the acid and shit like that. Well, this brother, he ain't trusting Robert Pattinson no more. They're kind of just like fighting and bickering at this point. Robert Pattinson tells the dude, he's like, you give me about 15 grand or whatever, and I'll give you that bottle of acid back, whatever. Well, next thing you know it, Khalif, he's like, fuck that. He tells him, he's like, all right, cool. But he looks at the other dude, and he's telling him, he's like, go get the guns. I'm going to blast this fool, son. You know what I'm saying? Get a New York style, whatever. Fucking three dice right here, homie. Yeah. That's right. I hung out in New York. I know how y'all roll, homie. Shit. Queens, motherfucker. I was going to say what part of Queens, but then you'd be like, oh, you nigga, you bougie motherfucker. That shit's been regentrified with my family, so I can't talk about that area or whatever. So, I don't know. But anyways, Flushing. Anyway, like, oh, you soft ass fucker. So anyway, Rob Pattinson's like, fuck that. I know a deal when it's not going down, whatever. He's like, I'm leaving. This dude tries to tackle him, whatever. Next thing you know it, Rob Pattinson ends up getting out because there's a dog there. And Rob Pattinson's earned the trust of this dog by wearing fucking I'm the Captain Now's clothes to get his scent and shit. So this dog ends up attacking the dude that's already fucked up and shit or whatever. His eyes all closed. Now he's getting bit by this dog. He manages to escape, but he looks out the window. And he fucking sees the cops showing up. Because clearly, I'm assuming someone must have identified Mr. I'm the Captain Now and said, hey, he's the security guard that works for the company. He's been tricked, whatever. They chase Robert Pattinson's ass down. They catch him, and the bottle of acid ends up flying on the rooftop somewhere. That's where he ran on the rooftop. They end up trying to come upstairs. They're going to catch this motherfucker, too. Which, I'm not going to lie, I don't know why he ran anyway. He could just be like, look, hey, take me wherever you want to go. I mean, because he was already on parole, so it was like, you know, he wasn't, it ain't like he broke out of jail or nothing like that. He could just be like, yo, this dude's crazy as fuck right here. He broke me out of the hospital. You think I could get up in my fucking condition and do what I did? No. He kidnapped me. But like I said, everybody in this fucking movie is kind of stupid, so bear with me here. This fucker, oh man, he decides to get out the window. I don't know what he was thinking. And they show you from a faraway shot. It's pretty fucked up, but to laugh at someone dying. But the way he fell, that shit was hilarious as fuck to me. Robert Pattinson's looking out the window, the cop car is in the backseat, whatever. And all you see is a body just fall, trapped. And you hear this woman screaming, no, I'm here.
They're like, holy shit, we got a homicide right now. No, we got a suicide. I'm sorry, homicide. But something about the way the camera shot that, it was fucking brilliant. And then the movie, it cuts off by saying the brother is free, the mentally challenged brother, Nick here. Because Connie, Robert Pattinson's character, he kind of said, you know, my brother had nothing to do with it. It was all me, blah, 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 whatever. They let him go. They put him in a specially mentally challenged class to help him with his speech pattern and stuff like that. And they pretty much just did a lot of sessions towards the end of the roll credits. I got to tell you, I got to say, watching the film, I was trying to think of negatives. One of the negatives I can think of, this might not be a film for everyone. People might be like, I don't really get it, or I don't really care because some of the characters aren't that great. I'm trying to think. Was there maybe it'll be like, what the point? What's the point of this or anything like that? But for me, what I love about that what's the point question here is like, I never knew what was going to happen next. This shit was just batshit crazy of some of the stuff that happened, whatever. And everything about it just felt real, too. It felt natural, whatever, you know. It definitely had that realistic feeling to it. Like, it really was shot in New York, in Queens, New York, on the streets, out there in the dirt and the grime, whatever. I mean, this felt as hardcore as it could be. Robert Pattinson gives a great fucking performance. His, like, facial reactions to the way he delivers his dialogue is just spot on perfection. Is you know, there was some aspects I didn't even recognize him at first. I thought Nikas, when I first saw him in the film, I was like, oh, is that Robert Pattinson? You know, I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, I mean, he really, like, fully transformed himself in this film. And throughout the whole film, you just can't help because he's sweating and shit like that. He just looks like he's greasy and up to no good. And everybody else he comes around with, he just spreads that disease to them. I like some of the shots in the film, too, whatever. It was very, like, stylized. The way it was just shot and whatever with the color patterns and all that stuff going on. I mean, you can kind of see it in the trailer where they do with the title card or that shot at the end of the trailer where that person says good time and you see Robert Pattinson just and froze and then, like, the red just blends off the screen and stuff like that. There's some nice shots like that. But another thing I want to compliment in this movie, though, which I was in love with, and I thought that this adds a lot of suspension to the film, too, because every fucking scene just felt like it was suspense as hell because you just didn't know what he was going to do or whatever. You just like, I'm so with this, but I was like, brother, if you touch that old lady, I'll fuck you up myself. But the music in here was really fucking good, dude. The score, it has that perfect. Everybody knows that me and Cody, we are huge fans of synth music here. And this film, the soundtrack that they have here with the score, I don't even want to know. One Othrix point never. Okay, I'm just going to call you Mr. Never. Score in here is really fucking good, dude. I actually have the, you can go to SoundCloud and get it on here. Just type in good time soundtrack and it'll come right up. I think it's Robert Pattinson gritting his teeth like, oh, nigga, you better not fuck me in the ass. Oh, whatever shit. You know, this album cover looks like the aftermath of him going to prison. But there was this one song in here. It's called Flashback. Man, I remember this song really vividly in the film, whatever. And it's got this. It's got like kind of like this horror mystery aspect to whatever. Really leaves it makes this music just really helped with this film too because it made every scene just that much more suspenseful. It gets a little bit more into that. Like, you know, with synth music, by every passing minute, the beat just automates. It adds another instrument. It ups up and it ramps up a little bit more and stuff like that. That song really gets amped up. The first song is on there. It's Too Good Time. That one really amps up towards the middle half of the song here. But I was in love with the music. This might have been, besides like Baby Driver and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 being my favorite soundtracks, or this definitely was probably my favorite score of the year so far. It was just, well, actually, no, I take that back. I forgot there was a film I saw in April that had a really goddamn good score. This would be my second favorite. That one back in April had a damn good score, which I will get back into towards the best of end of the year. My best of in, at the end of the year or whatever. That might have a contention for the top five area there. But no, at first, it took me a while to be blown away. I think it was not until the movie ended, and it just had me thinking, just because I was laughing a little bit. I had a good time watching it, no pun intended again. But by the time I left the theater, I just kept thinking about it. I was like, man, that film was just grimy as fuck, dude. I was like, felt like I just walked out of the hood or something like that. It's almost like someone gave you, like you was at a tour at Universal Studios Hollywood. Someone put some 3D glasses on you or whatever. And instead of seeing a roller coaster ride, you saw like a bunch of thugs holding guns, pointing them at you and shit like that, you know? It's kind of like that scene in Men in Black where Will Smith had that training thing, whatever. He was looking, he was like, I didn't want to bust that dude on the pole up there because, you know, it looked like he was working out. Yeah, I think that was like the same thing you do with this film here. I mean, this movie has some great performances, got some great camera angles. The score is fucking gorgeous. Synth music is always going to win with me or whatever, except for It Follows. I fucking can't stand that movie. The performances are great, like I said, or whatever, and just the batshit craziness. If I had a great time watching this, whatever. Damn, I'm going to drop a high C on this. I enjoyed the hell out of this. I'm going to say this. It's probably not for everyone. I don't give a fuck, though. So, I got to tell you, with this summer being so shitty, I mean, look, these little films here are kicking ass because I'm looking at my top 10 list. I probably got about 2 blockbusters on there, and actually, those might even get bumped off, to be honest, whatever, because, man, I didn't think this film was going to make it on there, but I think this might make it on there right there because this film kicked ass, whatever. No pun intended once again, but you will have a good time. Hi, see ya.
Don't be confused. It's just gonna make the worst for me.
You ever do time before?
Is your brother okay?
Listen, I want you to come with me. Love it. This place where we are now can be a lot of fun if you let it. You're gonna have a good time.